Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We are your people dashboard company that's saving you from all the headaches of wrangling together crappy, messy spreadsheets. That's right. We know you small and medium-sized companies out there are using a bunch of different HR systems, and when it comes time to understanding your data and reporting, you're pulling spreadsheets from all those systems, trying to turn it into one thing, exporting images, pasting into PowerPoint decks for your CEO, and all different types of things. And we know that sucks, and it's just not the best way to do it. So go to employeecycle.com and create a free account and check it out. You can connect your different HR systems very easily and pull all your data into one place to get one source of truth for all your people data. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the podcast, Shelley Holland, VP of HR at Phone to Action. Shelley, welcome to the podcast. Woo, Shelley!
Thanks, Bruce. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So today we're going to talk about how to lead your workforce through uncertainty. There has been a ton of uncertainty. Today is June 23rd, and I think if you know what's going on in the world, whenever you listen to this, it could be 5 years from now, June 23rd, 2020, there's a lot going on. So Shelley, before we begin, we need to ask you the question of how we always kick off every interview, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
So interestingly enough, like many people, I'm sure, it started with an internship when I was in college. I did a lot of things around recruiting and just, you know, happened to fall in love with HR and grew my career from there. So, you know, I've been in HR my entire career, but it's been an awesome ride.
Awesome. All right. So now let's dig into the topic. As I mentioned, today is June 23rd. There's a lot of uncertainty. What's going on with your workforce right now? If you had to use one word or a couple words to describe the status of your workforce today, what does that look like?
I would say it's optimistic, to be honest with you. So I think since coming into this year, I think there was a lot of uncertainty. I know, speaking for myself, I started at Phone to Action in January, and shortly after, you know, we were all faced, like many, with the COVID and having to shut down and moving our team remotely. And I think one of the things that we saw through this is that, you know, our team has persevered and succeeded. There's a lot of optimism and hope around all the things that have transpired and changing. We're in a very fortunate position as a company that our company provides advocacy software. And for that, we're able to support a lot of the movements that are happening. We've directly supported initiatives around COVID as it related to PPE, nurses, and then, you know, with some of the unfortunate deaths that have occurred in the Black community, we've been able to also shift gears and support the Black Lives Matter movement as well.
Got it. So when I first started interviewing people leaders about COVID and uncertainty, there was a lot of talk around reducing employee stress and anxiety. Because you're in a place of optimism, are you still dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety across your workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the optimism comes into the fact of people looking at it from a positive light, but that doesn't mean that stress and anxiety doesn't exist. You know, whether it's dealing with kids in the house, animals in the house, you may hear a dog barking or two while we're doing this podcast. But the reality is that there's so much uncertainty that there's two ways that you can look at it. And while, you know, there have definitely been challenges, and we've had employees who've had loved ones who have been directly impacted by COVID, it still has remained very high in terms of the way that we look at the business and how we help them deal with stress, whether it's through flexible work schedules, looking at days off. You know, we've provided a lot of these things that I would say prior to this year weren't, you know, cultural norms within our company.
Got it. So currently, are most of your employees still working remotely?
Yeah, so all of our employees are working remotely. Again, we're in a really fortunate position that most of our roles can be done outside of the office as long as you have internet connection. The other positive outcome of it is that we've had one employee whose role is more office-based, but we've been able to help with skills, reskilling, and teaching different software so that her role could pivot to being more of an admin support as opposed to just an office support role.
And with those employees that are now, well, all your employees are now working remotely, were there any employees that previously worked remotely prior to COVID?
Yeah, so we had a handful, and they were all located outside of Virginia, where we're based out of, but it was only about 5 employees.
And did you see the same level, and this is anecdotal, but did you see the same level of stress and anxiety from the employees who were already working remotely versus the employees who were forced to work remotely? And I asked that question because I'm curious to know, did it not matter whether or not you were already home to still feel a lot of the stress and anxiety? Because I've been curious to know if you already worked from home, which, you know, I've always worked from the office. So if you already worked from home, but now you're forced to work from home, is it a difference between somebody telling you to do something versus you doing it on your own?
So I've done check-ins throughout the process of us working remotely, and I would say the same stress and anxiety exists with our employees that were used to being in the office is the same as our remote employees, because it is just such a time of uncertainty. And, you know, a lot of our employees were in areas that were heavy impacted by COVID. So in New York and California. And so for them, I think it was a different level of stress, even though they were used to the remote environment. Your world just changed, starting in late February. And so everyone was faced with that uncertainty.
As a person that interacts with a lot of HR leaders, as you know, we sell an HR product, it's interesting to think about how you choose what to prioritize, because what I've found for the most part is that HR is typically a resource and time constrained function as it is. So to then throw in so many other issues and challenges, how do you deal with prioritization? And is it more of just shifting your focus and letting all the other things go that you were doing before? Or was it possible to even do any of the initiatives and efforts that you already had in place? Were you able to keep any of those going?
Yeah, so it definitely was a shift. And I would say I have a great executive team. We sat down as a business and as a leadership group and were able to prioritize the things that were most important to us. Obviously, when we think about it, it was like the safety and psychological security of our employees. But I knew that we also had a number of things that we needed to get built. So, you know, really, I reduced the areas of focus that I wanted to accomplish for 2020, but have still been able to keep quite a few things moving as we focus on performance management, because I think that component of it, and as we do that shift, it is important, especially when you have a remote workforce, to make sure that you have that constant communication and making sure that people understand what the big picture is and how they play into it. And so while some of the initiatives have shifted, the main priority stuck, which for us has been focused around performance management and then looking at our benefits.
So you spoke of having consistent communication. One of the questions that I like to ask, especially during COVID times, is what did communication change to, if it changed at all? And what I mean by that is I've spoken to some HR leaders and they say that depending on the size of the company, the CEO was able to do weekly check-ins with everyone. Obviously, with larger companies, that's impossible and a lot more challenging. And so the communication was really one-on-one, on a more frequent cadence between managers and employees, but then other people have more frequent check-ins between HR and a lot of employees. What did that communication strategy look like? Because there's so many different levels to that and so many different permutations of one-on-one communication that could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So a few things as soon as we all went remote that we implemented is that every morning, every team has a stand-up. This is just a way for everyone to get together, check in, also see what's going on. The other thing that we added into is that our CEO, as well as myself, started doing check-ins. And so we've been working our way, as communication opportunities pop up, our CEO, Jeb, has, proactively reached out to employees just to do check-ins and to see how things are going from a personal level as a human, from a human perspective, not just work. And then I would say lastly, we had a regular all company meeting, and with COVID and going to a complete work, we have actually increased the amount of frequency. So every Friday for about an hour, all the teams get together, we meet and we talk about, certain topics that may be relevant to our business. We also talk about things in terms of dealing with stress and anxiety, and we've done education sessions around that. And we've also had our clients come in and even talk about like the impacts of COVID on their workforce and their environment and how our software has helped support them during this challenging time. So we've tried to keep the topics new and fresh, but also informational to keep people engaged. But the communication, I would say, if anything, has increased. We also use Slack. So we've seen our Slack usage increase, running reports from there. You see this like huge spike, which is cool, and it's been able to sustain. And so a lot of groups, independent groups from a social perspective, have been created, outside of the work, because essentially what you're used to getting during the workday of being able to pop over to someone's desk or go to lunch with someone now has moved to Slack. And then the last thing I forgot is that we have a weekly optional lunch via Zoom. And so people can just come in there and hang out, decompress, talk. We've run some virtual games in there. So we've tried to keep the lines of communication open in every way possible.
Got it. So it seems like you've really had a comprehensive strategy from the start. Even though, we all know that it was pretty crazy for a lot of people, but what skill sets and mindset did you have to bring to the table in order to be able to really execute on this strategy? Were there new skills that you had to bring to the table and learn very quickly, or could you lean on things that you've learned during your HR experience?
I would say it was probably a mixture of the two, but I would say most prevalent are skills that I learned through my HR experience. I've had the good fortune of being able to work with companies that had a large remote population, where most of the groups that I supported were remote. So being able to take that experience there and implement it within Phone to Action has been extremely helpful. I also think, none of us have dealt with anything of a pandemic to this sort. And so just being flexible, reading as much as you can. I probably have read every article by the CDC, NIH, but then the most important piece is just talking to other people, because if it's something that I may not necessarily have experienced myself, bouncing ideas off of individuals has been really helpful. I've been able to make some really good connections with other HR leaders, whether they're local or in other states. And we just, hop on weekly calls and talk about everything that's happening in our business and how to stay focused.
Last question. You just mentioned that you've been building an even stronger bond and community with other HR leaders to really get through this and bounce ideas off of each other. For all of the HR leaders out there who may be struggling with a lot of the things that are going on themselves, what does self-care look like for you? And what would you recommend to the HR leaders out there in regards to them taking care of themselves so they can take care of the workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know for me, one of the things that has increased is my exercise. I've always had a pretty routine, a stable routine. But what I found is really taking that extra time for myself in the morning has been key. So, waking up maybe a little bit earlier or even around the same time, since I don't have to worry about the commute, especially in the DC area, just getting that exercise in. It gets your mind flowing. It also helps you take away from any of the thoughts that you're thinking. The other part that I've been doing is really been a focus around meditation and being present when I'm in meetings, whether I am at home, just being truthfully mindful and practicing meditation. Because again, there's so many things that we can't control, but you know, taking some time for ourselves is important, because if we don't take care of ourselves, then there's no way that we can support anyone else, as to what you said, Bruce.
Shelley, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. And shout out to you for totally nailing your first podcast ever. So, Shelley,
thank you.
Thanks for being on the podcast. Woo! Shelley! So where can people find you and Phone to Action online?
Yeah, so our company website is phonetoaction.com, and then you can find me on LinkedIn, Shelley Holland, and it's Shelley with an I, and Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D.
So everyone listening, if you appreciated this podcast between myself and Shelley with an I, then please leave us a 5-star rating for this episode, because if you do, then that shows that we're actually providing great content and we can continue to do so. Also, if this is the very first time that you're listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast, because you're either already a super fan of Shelley, or you just thought that this topic was intriguing, but now you're looking for more awesome podcast episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And last but not least, all you HR leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.